Dr. Ron, good to have you back, sir. How are you?
Good morning, and Semper Fi, and happy Marine Corps birthday to all my Marine Corps buddies out there.
Amen to that. Amen to that. Thank you so much for that, Dr. Ron. Dr. Ron, as I mentioned, you reside not too terribly far from Sutherland Springs, where that shooting took place. Can you talk about the reaction before we get into some of the forensic analysis and the profile of the shooter from what you've gathered? But talk about some of the reaction of the folks in that region.
Well, sure. The one thing that is just blessed about the state of Texas is just really how resilient Texicans are. And, you know, we've gone through the floods, we went through the hurricane, all of those things. We went through the tragedy, last year of our five Dallas police officers being assassinated at a Black Lives Matter protest by a Black Lives Matter supporter, former military, unfortunately. And that was tough to get through. So we've had some hard times within, the last year now, this issue. You know, this town, Sutherland, is such a close-knit town, like many of our communities are. This location is about, 70 miles from where my ranch is. The killer actually lived on a ranch not too far from where I have a shooting range and firearms company. And so I have contacts in New Braunfels in that area, which is about 35 miles from where the First Baptist Church is. All the flags in Texas are flying at half-mast, which is quite appropriate. I think our governor and our attorney general and Vice President Pence have done an admirable job trying to assuage the feelings of the people in that community with the congregation of that church. It's just, such a sad time, but you know what? We'll get through this. And we'll move forward because that's what Texicans do.
I'll tell you what, I agree with what you just said about the leadership of Texas. Some of the finest people, honestly, in America, Governor Abbott, obviously, Attorney General Paxton speaking very, very strongly as well, Lieutenant Governor Patrick. It's just it really is good leadership. And if anybody can be relied upon to help provide, the sense of normalcy and yet the sense recovery, I suppose, and just trying to, as you say, grab one another and get through this. They are providing that leadership.
Right.
Dr. Ron, let's move into the scientific part of this now. Let's talk about this, and this is your field when you talk about forensics. Can you give us a bit of an analysis? A lot of people have nibbled around the edges in the media about who he was, what he was. I hate to even use his name, but I guess we have to for the analysis of this, or I'll let you do that. But is the... is the motive clear yet, or are we still just in the suspicion stages or the presumptive stages about what led this this evil person to go into a church and start slaughtering the people the way he did?
Sure. Well, and we might have mentioned this before. I do a lot of training on active shooters, and
yes.
As a matter of fact, you can go to a website, responsetoactiveshooter.com. And so we go out and do this for corporate America and for large social groups and churches. Yesterday, I had a long conversation with the church, with the pastoral staff of the church in Southern California that wanted that training. I'm pretty much up on having done the criminal psychological profile of this gentleman. I really don't want to mention his name. It's really not important. But here's a person that has a mental health history. Everybody that went to school with him, and he went to school in New Braunfels, that knew this gentleman, as he was growing up, said that he had mental health history. He had told people that he was on psychotropic medications. Those are mood-altering medications to create some semblance of mental stability for, various psychoses. Don't forget, psychoses, you can't cure them. You can only create a sense of normalcy. So he would complain about the medications he was under. He would complain about his parents. And he had pretty much disenfranchised himself and isolated himself by his senior year with the people that he went to school with. At one point, he was a member of the First Baptist Church. Okay, this person had a history of bizarre and increasingly violent behavior. And in forensic psychology, we refer to this these times as flicker moments. And one example of a flicker moment is that he had a case of felony animal cruelty lodged against him, where he had severely beaten a pit bull dog that he had and had been arrested and prosecuted and pled out on that case and was simply given a fine and no jail time. He enlisted in the Air Force, and this is where I think some additional problems began, because the Air Force, any branch of the service, when they are recruiting you, has to vet you. And one of the things that they do is they go talk to parents. And they say, you know, what's this young man like? They might talk to a teacher. What was this one man like? And if they had done that, they would have found out that he had a long history of mental health problems and he was under psychotropic medications. Well, that's a DQ. That's a disqualification from service. And so, but that apparently was lacking. And so he entered into the Air Force service about 2010. And he had been married at the time, was involved in a serious case of spousal abuse and in child abuse, felonious child abuse, where he had actually fractured the skull of a little baby stepson that he had. He had problems in the Air Force and had threatened his Air Force supervising officers, and they found him at one point when he was out serving in New Mexico trying to sneak a bunch of guns on the base after he had threatened his supervising officer. So what do you think he was planning there? Maybe sure. A workplace violence. Okay, so they committed him, involuntarily committed him to a psychiatric facility, and he escaped from there. Okay, none of this was known by local law enforcement and was never reported on the database for the Federal Bureau of Investigations, which all of the law enforcement agencies tie into a major database, which is referred to as the National Crime Information Center, or NCIC. Mm-hmm. And so none of that was entered into that system, not reported to the FBI. So then... go ahead, Bob.
Well, I just wanted to interrupt just to kind of, you know, summarize some of this. I mean, the ball was dropped in terms of reporting on so many different levels here, so many different things. You know, the mental health DQ would have stopped him from going into the Air Force. And then once he was right in the Air Force, the bad conduct discharge and the conviction in the military court for the domestic violence trauma should have stopped him from getting a weapon. The bottom line is the system is full of holes, number of different ways that kind of, I don't want to say led to the tragedy, but allowed him to eventually become what he became.
You know, sure, Bob, huge issues of contribution. Let me just correct one aspect as a person that is an expert for the Judge Advocate General's office. And I would tell you that the a dishonorable discharge would have precluded him from getting a gun on the because you have to fill out, you know, the BATF form, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms form, to get a firearm, okay? And that is one of the questions, and they would have reported that. But when they gave him a bad conduct discharge, that kind of circumvented that. However, he was convicted of felony charges.
Right.
That still
should have been reported to the National Crime Database.
Absolutely. So, you know, even take away all the mental health history, just the domestic violence and the child abuse would have been mandated. They are mandated reporting, and that should have been in there. And he should have been caught at that time and precluded from having a firearm.
Right. So there's so many elements to that led us to where we are now. And I'm going to get our time out here now because it seems like a good time for it. I want to talk a little bit more about his contact with that church. And you talked about the four, last time we talked to you a few days ago, you talked about the four general reasons why mass shooters undertake these kinds of things. And you feel like you have got it pinned down on which one of these applies to him because of certain ties to or loose ties to
Correct.
That church.
I want to get you
to expound upon that on the other side of this quick timeout. We'll take that timeout now, and we'll get right back with Dr. Ron Martinelli as we continue on AM 1420, The Answer. In the side.